write it.
That's my line.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, and according to Jehovah's Witnesses, hi, I'm Dolph Ziggler. Nice to meet you.
Ah, what a way to start the new year, baby. Wow.
Happy New Year, everybody. May 2009 be a lot better than 2008.
Amen.
Yes.
So let's introduce our panel of three for right now. As I forget once again to start up the chat room.
Oh, oh my god. Oh, it's gonna be one of those nights, I can feel it.
we need one of these.
Yes. As the chat room's open, let's introduce our panelists for tonight. First of all, he has to wait 1 hour and 58 minutes. Then after that, 363 days to ring in 2010 with a glass of champagne. VRM.
By the time you stop listening to this whole show, I will be 21.
Yay!
Yay!
Secondly, we have from New York, we have one of the best wrestling pundits ever, not named Dave Meltzer, Jason Block.
1 million people freezing their butts off to see a ball drop. Hmm.
Further proof that Dick Clark can still draw more than Vince McMahon ever dreamed.
Woohoo! Still number one. Still number one.
Hard!
And finally, in order to do this properly, Jason, VRM, we need to turn our backs to her.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. That's it.
Here's Nikki Haman.
Boo!
I'm talking down here. But seriously, 2009 is the year of the ox, and we have discovered that Oxbaker did have an illegitimate son. His name is Mike Knox.
Oh, boy.
2009, and we finally have our first Ox Baker reference. Yes!
Wow! That's that is seriously impressive.
First win of the year. Thank you very much. I needed that.
So, Nikki wins the side bet. First win of the year goes to Nikki Haman. And that means
now,
she wins grand...
to a show.
That means she wins a grand total of negative 15 cents.
Dagnabbit.
That's about how much she got paid for her last gig, but that's beside the point.
You ain't kidding.
If you guys want to call it and enjoy on the festivities, the number is 1-646-716-9678. Call in and enjoy. And plus, we need a 4-4 around the horn.
Well, do you want to do the sort of year in review until we get a fourth, or?
I got something better.
Okay, go for it. Or predictions for 2009, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Room 101.
Oh, shite.
Doubleheader room 101 for tonight. But one catch. All of what we have to induct is done between January 1st, 2008, or at the time of this right now. 10:05 p.m. Eastern Time, January 2nd, 2009.
Anything wrestling related only, right?
Wrestling related for the first round. Wrestling related only.
Okay. So you want to start right now? Wow. Okay.
Dibs on Kids Failey.
And for starters, we have an update. It turns out that the Butterfly Belt has changed hands from Michelle McCool. It is now on Uwe Maurice. However, that does still not liberate that from Room 101.
However, the week afterwards, she dislocated her kneecap.
However, good news on that note, it will not require surgery. She should be back. She's going to rehab a little bit. She'll be back in the ring within 3 to 4 weeks.
Good. Seriously, not very, very cool. Boy, you threw me on the Room 101 thing.
I'm waiting for a fourth to call in, and if one doesn't show up, hold on. I think I may have a fourth. But Jason, while I'm trying to get this fourth, who's your pick?
Oh, for Room 101?
Yep.
Honestly, it would have to be the McMahon Millions promotion from last year, because although it was, you know, mildly successful, it was just an absolute ratings ploy. When, if you see over the last month in Raw, if you tell a good story, people will come back to see it.
Right.
And, of course, and if John Cena is healthy, because he is the damn draw.
You're right. He is the draw.
You were saying, Nikki?
I was going to say, I agree with you, mainly because it was eating up 45 minutes of show that could have been fixed by doing what they're doing now, having wrestlers jump shows or call FCW. Anybody bored? Anybody want to make a quick buck? There are so many better ways to fill up 45 minutes of time than to watch Vince McMahon for fake dial a telephone, get Rickrolled, and just show us how much of a freaking Luddite he is, despite the fact that he has one of the, you know, some of the best technology to produce his television show.
Rickroll, McMahon Rickroll, still the greatest moment of the year, I think. But yeah, this was a waste of all that time. How many weeks did it actually run? 4 weeks before
it only ran
the
4 weeks.
Before Mr. McMahon was taken off TV.
By his own set. If it wasn't staged, I'd think it would be positively karmic.
Well, okay, I'll play it.
Is it true? Can you really be calling me? I have to give the correct pass.
Please enjoy the music until your party answers the phone.
That's not my fault. Caller ID.
Hello, we must be.
Hey, right.
Oh, that was just beautiful. But that
yes.
was. And by that, the way, the worst part about it, I didn't win a damn thing.
That's I entered the contest. I didn't win a damn thing either. That's why it's going into Room 101.
Good riddance.
Yes, good riddance to bad rubbish. I talked to my friend and talked to somebody here. He's going to be going away for the night, so he won't be able to do Around the Horn. However, if we have trouble finding people,
Well, fourth will be on by 11.
So we can just bullshit and go through sort of a year in review outside of
okay.
the we can do the room 101. We could talk about, you know, best tag team, best wrestlers, and things like that.
All right, we're gonna talk about the Nikki Awards. Speak on that note. It's your pick.
Let's see. You're not throwing the Nikki Awards in room 101. Hands off that handle. I saw you reaching for the damn handle. Stop that.
No. I never throw away the Nikki Awards in the room 101. I wouldn't even dream of doing that.
Hands off the handle.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hands off the handle. Put your hands up where I can see them.
My hands aren't that big, and you can't see it. About 10,000 miles away.
You can't see me neither. Anyway, okay. If you want me to throw something into room 101, I want to throw a particular angle from this past year into room 101. If I recall correctly, when Chuck Palumbo was still on SmackDown, we had an abusive boyfriend storyline with him and Michelle McCool and Jamie Noble.
Yes, the misogynistic angle, yes.
This whole thing is something I don't. This is something that we don't need to be emphasizing as a storyline in wrestling, because there's enough of that going on in real life behind the scenes. I'm looking at you, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Ooh.
And that's not a good way to push a heel. And you could see that Michelle was not very comfortable with it. I don't know if even Palumbo was comfortable with it. Noble was on the fringes of it, so there really wasn't much he could do. I want that to be a memory. I need that next to the butterfly belt in room 101, please.
I will add a second to this, because first of all, number one, and again, I'm usually not the, oh my God, the Navy Pamley, we're talking about the children here. But in this particular case, when the WWE's audience is usually 12 to 18-year-old males here,
mm-hmm.
Who are really going through puberty, and I'm being very serious about this, and they treat their women in a lot of respects as sex objects. And as a matter of fact, as recently as this past week, having Kelly be a slut, sleep with Randy Orton, and then is pissed off that he dumped her. It's not a good idea. Women are not sex objects let me rephrase this. Women should not be submissive sex objects. You know what I'm talking about, correct?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Because, hey, look. There's a lot of beautiful women in there. If they want to show off their bodies and their wrestling talent, more power to them. But if women are going to be victims and perceived as such, especially when they are perceived as strong, it sends a mixed message. That's where I'm going with it.
I watched this feud develop, storyline develop a bit. Started when Chuck Palumbo brought in his biker babe, Michelle McCool.
Right.
She started to get more over than Chuck Palumbo. It's a classic abusive boyfriend storyline. It's been done for ages, which is sad in a way, but it has been done for ages. Just recently they're doing an abusive boyfriend angle right now on WWE 24/7 with the way on how to do an abusive boyfriend angle with Rena Mero and with Mark Mero and Sable right now back in 1997 on Raw.
Are you saying they did it the right way?
They did it. Oddly enough, Vince Russo did it the right way.
Okay.
I mean, if you do it right, it's going to work. If you do it wrong, it's going to blow up in your face, and everybody's going to hate it. And everybody hates I mean, this storyline pretty much killed Palumbo. He has been on TV in months.
He's gone, man.
He's gone.
He was released.
Oh, he was released.
He was.
Well,
they traded him to Raw. They couldn't do anything with him.
They didn't even try to do anything with him on Raw. I didn't even see him on air once. So, for what it's worth, storyline bad. Going into Ramona one. Da da.
Thank you. My work is done here.
VRM?
Yeah, well, I did say I called Kiss Failey, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else. This past Monday, they were giving a reason for why Batista was not on Raw last week and why he's not going to be out for a while. They're giving the kayfabe reason is that he had some teeth knocked out. He had some dental surgery because of the punt, which was more of a shin. But they backed this up with a video package to try and sell this because Batista went in for his hamstring injury in Birmingham, Alabama. But they're hyping that the main reason for this is that he knocked my teeth out. So you know, while I'm out, I'm just gonna get my hamstring done. It's like you had to kayfabe this up. You actually had the hamstring injury, and you're saying that you're only getting it done because you got punted, quote unquote, in the face and lost teeth, quote unquote. Sorry, but. One, that's definitely not believable. Two, I'm very sure that a hamstring injury is more severe than any kind of dental injury at all. Three, you didn't get the foot to the face, you got the shin, almost the knee to the face, so it doesn't need, so yeah, not believable.
You know, WWE does this all the time, and I'm going to be a bit of a party pooper. Yeah, WWE does this for the absolute marks. If you're going to be if you're going to be a smart fan, you're going to know the real reason. So for me, this is not Room 101 worthy.
I'm kind of on the fence on this one because I think it would have sold better if they did it the other way around. But
if he had the hamstring injury and got the dental work anyway?
Yeah, that he'd already had a hamstring injury, but he hadn't sold it during the match, so we wouldn't have been aware of it. So the marks will say, well, where the hell did he hurt his hamstring? You know, he got kicked in the head.
I'm going to stop you there because they actually brought up the hamstring injury. I remember this week on Raw, Jerry the King Lawler specifically said that he injured his hamstring at SummerSlam during the same match where John Cena had his concussion.
His neck injury.
Right, but then Batista is now you've painted Batista as a complete and utter idiot for spending 4.5 months on a bum hamstring, something that he should have gotten done right away if it was bothering him so bad that he needed surgery. I don't see a reason to throw this into Room 101. I just, you know, this is one of those that I kind of shrug because WWE likes to make it dramatic. And frankly, I think if it was just the dental surgery, Batista could be back from that in 2 weeks. They really needed to play the hamstring injury as the more severe. That's my only problem with it. But I don't think that's so bad that it should be turned in Room 101.
I am not going to put this in Room 101 of VRM, mainly because they did talk about the hamstring injury. It was talked about by the broadcast team, however ineptly.
Yeah. Look, we're not saying it's not stupid. We're just saying it's just not Room 101 worthy.
It's stupid, but it ain't that stupid.
Yeah.
It's like a legitimized stupid.
Sadly,
however,
the Fed can accomplish this.
Yeah. So, you're going to have to take that back with you. It's not going in. Mm-hmm. However, what we are going to give to you is this DVD, Randy Orton's Greatest Punts.
Oh, God.
There's no disc in there. Don't worry.
It's a mini disc. That's all, you know.
On
no,
three
no
DVDs.
It'll go right next to my... No, it'll go right next to my Jeff Beagles collection.
Oof.
And then I can sit back and compare. Then I can sit back and compare someone who actually does punt and then someone who punts, quote-unquote.
So Rob, what is your worst thing of this year?
The one thing from last year I want to throw into Room 101.
Yeah, baby.
Ooh. And all three of you whiffed.
Hello.
I get the honor of throwing Mike Adam Lee into Room 101.
Yeah, oh, my.
Oh.
I thought he was already in there.
Yeah, I thought he was in.
I thought we put him in there already.
We put him in, like, the first week.
Nope.
Are you sure?
You sure? I could have sworn one of us had thrown him in there already.
Nope.
You have a list? You're absolutely 100% sure?
Yep.
Well, then you win, because we...
I felt that. I figured he was already in there, and I thought we threw him in there head first.
I thought we threw him in there the week... It was either the first week we did it or the week he got fired.
No, we threw Vince Russo in head first the first week we did this.
Granted, but I, you know, he was our inaugural member, but Mike Adamley, I figured, was in not too far behind because, you know, we were okay with his general managing, but his announcing sucked. And when he got fired, I know it came up again. I could have sworn we threw him in there already.
No, and he got brought up again just this week thanks to John Cena.
Which was great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was reading the criticism of this week's Raw. It wasn't that terrible.
No.
It was okay. I mean, after the last 3 weeks, which have been really, really good, you know, it was a little come down, you know. But Raw has been incredibly watchable over the last month.
So is ECW thanks to one name. Oh,
Jack,
two names.
Jack Swagger.
And Matt Hardy.
Yay.
Yeah.
Get well soon, Evan Bourne. Get well soon. Even if
he'll be on Raw.
Get well soon. I don't care. I want him back.
Yes. And yes, please, have him win Money in the Bank. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Or at least go in there.
He'll go in.
I want him to win it.
But, yeah, Mike Adamley, good God, what were you thank you. Oh, God.
Here's the hint. What show was popular at the time?
Oh, yeah, American Gladiators.
Why they didn't put him on that and got rid of Hogan, I don't know.
Is Gladiators getting another season? Or?
Done.
Not more commentators.
Done.
Okay, then I'm going to Cavalcada Customs at the end of January and give Wolf a hug. I get to go see him in a couple of weeks.
Yes. It is going to be eaten by Augustus the Game Show Zombie Stripper. Yes.
And by the way, you can see Augustus the Game Show Zombie Stripper only at GameShowNewsNet.com.
Augustus the Game Show Zombie Stripper is a character we have invented on our show called We Love to Interrupt. It eats the brains of the game shows that get canceled.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, and usually these shows are absolute crap. Like the most recently, The Money and the Power on MTV, so which got canceled after 6 episodes.
I saw an episode of that just recently.
That is horrible, racist crap.
I wanted to eat my own brain.
It was just absolutely disgustingly bad.
I sent you something for that, Mr. Black, but go on.
Okay, let me... But yes, so why don't we just get to the good stuff?
Hold on,
Mr. Adamley.
We gotta play this first for him to be sent away on.
All right.
Damn, I lost the Adamley theme. Oh well. But I have this theme.
What the heck is this?
Oh, okay, Gladiator 2000, right? No! What?
Or is this just the American, was that just the regular American Gladiators thing?
That was
regular American
four.
Gladiators. Yes,
that
season 5 through 7. B.R. Rib got it right. He's not a game show fan and you blow that question.
No, 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 hold on a second. I didn't know that was the remixed version of it, so FCFU, okay?
Just leave the hell out of here and they're done with it before one of you guys ends up in there with him.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Good grief.
I watched this show religiously when I was a kid.
Oh,
congrats, Vera Rib, you beat the block.
No, you did not. Shut up. Shut up. We're here to talk about wrestling, damn it, all right? Damn it to hell. I mean, seriously.
Wow.
Oh, good Lord. Good night. I mean, we just ended one of the better years in wrestling in a row, and all you have to worry about is Mike freaking Adamley? Shut up. Oh, my God.
I better start passing out cookies, or there's going to be a fight on our hands here.
Yeah, well, I'm getting hot chocolate because I need sugar, so...
I think the show's going to end up in the medical ward.
Yeah, oh, my God. Good night, nurse. Oh, my God.
Best
of.
All
right, let's, we have some list of, I have a list here for the best of and the worst of. So here we go, our 2008 Roundtable Year in Review. And we're not going to do a long-winded one like We Love to Interrupt does, but
okay.
You can see only on GameshowNewsNet.com.
Thank you.
And by the way, look at the short shots where you see my handwriting on there on Thursday's episode.
I saw that. Yes, I did. We'll talk about that later, but let's get to it.
Yeah. Anyways, best of 2008. How about this? Best pay-per-view of 2008.
Ooh.
WrestleMania 24.
Has to.
For the most part. If for only I love you, I'm sorry.
That had a great moment, but I'm sorry. SummerSlam 2008 was incredibly entertaining. It had a match of the year candidate in Edge, Undertaker, Hell in a Cell.
Which was even more amazing live. I'll give you that. But take Flair HBK for the pure story of it.
Yes.
Money in the Bank, which I want to know how much of that crap John Morrison got from Jeff Hardy in a phone call the night before and the night after, John calling him back and saying, what the hell were you trying to put me through? And Jeff said, I was just kidding, man. The Edge Undertaker match there wasn't bad either, oh, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The unintentional comedy of the lights going out during the women's match and staying out until John Cena came out, that tickled me.
Okay.
What was Cena's entrance this year? Was that the band?
Yeah, that was the marching band, and then he ran into the darkness. Now... I attended SummerSlam this year. This was my first SummerSlam, and I had an awesome time. I'm somebody who is a mark for whenever Undertaker does something, you know, quote-unquote magical, such as literally sending Edge to hell. It took him a little too long to get the portal open, but the ending effect was spectacular, especially when you're only four rows back on the floor.
Nice.
The Intercontinental and women's match was overshadowed by the post-match celebrations of Santino and Beth Phoenix. Completely overshadowed. Completely. The ECW title match was criminally short. The Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho segment was criminally long. And the audio in Ken Seiko Fieldhouse was horrible, so I missed half of the conversation. Hunter was able to get a semblance of a match out of the Great Khali, and that is Herculean.
No, that's Conan the Barbarian, like.
That too.
The
that
bar-
too. It'll but
the Barbarian, yes.
Meanwhile, speaking of embarrassed, CM Punk's got a bear just came out, which reminds me, CM Punk JBL was also quite a fine match. And when those two knocked heads, I prayed to God that JBL had been knocked unconscious.
Which would have been really cool for a lot of people who cared.
Exactly, except that all it did was bust a Punk open hard way, which you can't see in all the asphalt grease he calls that black scraggly mane of his. Anyway, but I had a good time, but WrestleMania still tends to knock everybody's socks off.
It does, and that's what it's supposed to do. One of my favorite pay-per-views of 2008 was one of the first pay-per-views of the year, which was the Royal Rumble.
Oh, that is, and I attended that live. That wasn't a bad show either.
So was I.
And how hot was the crowd that night when John Cena surprisingly came back?
It went, holy shit, oh shit.
That's about right. When? Oh, my God, yes.
Holy shit, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like, holy God.
That's two, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. It's like, holy shit, it's Cena. Oh,
shit,
it's Cena.
No,
and
wait. It was, holy shit, it's Cena, then it's, oh, shit, Cena won.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Now, I'll give you something even better, Jason. One of the Botchamanias that was released right after the Rumble.
Botchamania?
Botchamania. If you go to YouTube and just type in Botchamania,
yeah,
there's about 60 of these videos. It's nothing but blown spots, bad interviews, independent mayhem,
right,
and just some tremendously cool and crazy crap. They did a thing. They had a shot from the Royal Rumble when Cena came out, where he's just standing there looking around. And they subtitled it when he said something, but they think he said, well, fuck. And they still hate me.
That's what you get for re-debuting at Madison Square Garden.
Smart
New York.
Central.
Smart Central.
It was still damn cool, though. It was one of the best moments of 2008, and I agree with you. Great stuff. And even the Jeff Hardy Randy Orton match was good. I mean, Edge Rey Mysterio was very good. JBL Jericho was okay, even for the fact that Jericho would just kick JBL's ass, which was fine. And the Royal Rumble match itself was great because, if you remember, you had the addition of Shawn Michaels and Undertaker starting the 2008 Rumble after they ended the 2007 one.
You're also forgetting one thing.
Yes?
Let's get ready to rumble!
I have three words for you. Fuck Michael Buffer. He blows. He's the most overrated ring announcer in the history of ring announcers.
Who would you rather have, Michael or Bruce?
Neither. Both Buffers should die of syphilis horribly, okay?
Tell us how you really feel.
There's nothing wrong with Bruce Buffer. Oh, God.
They're terrible.
There's nothing wrong with Bruce Buffer. He plays world championship poker for half a living.
Okay. Just because he does something cool half of the time doesn't mean his other half of the time doesn't suck.
He did something that you'll probably never do, Jason.
What's that?
two final tables on the World Poker Tour.
Ooh. Well,
play nice, gentlemen. Play nice.
Let's go on. I'll save that for the quote file next year.
Now we go from the penthouse to the outhouse. Worst pay-per-view.
Wow. I can actually say it's the one, another one I attended, which was TNA Hard Justice.
Ooh.
Just
because, which I almost attended.
Yeah, because of this reason and this reason only. TNA does not know. TNA had a horrible overall year this year. Inconsistent booking, sparsely attended house shows, and the fact that they lost one of their biggest stars in Christian Cage. Please, please, please let them come to the WWE really, really soon. As you see, I'm on my knees praying for this.
I'll be right back.
But the idea is that when you can't draw 2,000 people in the Philly, New York, New Jersey area for a pay-per-view with the booking that's absolutely horrible, even though it had one good match in AJ Styles and last man standing with Kurt Angle, and then AJ Styles gets pounced by Sting, huh? Right?
Yeah.
Six Nights of Steel, Booker versus Joe, Booker versus Joe with, the booking was great. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible pay-per-view. You, Nikki?
I'm a little stumped because most of the TNA pay-per-views, I hate to say it, I try to watch them. I really do. I have my own means of getting said pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be honest, a lot of the TNA pay-per-views do not stand out for me because somebody has given Vince Russo the whole book and nothing but the book. And how many freaking locks do we have to put on Room 101 to keep him from doing that?
It's terrible. It's absolutely freaking terrible.
I'm looking down the cards of all the TNA pay-per-views so far. Let's see. First Final Resolution, meh. Against All Odds, meh. Destination X, meh. Lockdown, fail.
Oh, by the way, I believe Lockdown is going to be in Philadelphia this year.
If I get booed out of the building, too.
Oh, God. Let's see, what was Sacrifice? Dang it. Hit for the long article. Sacrifice, it was long. Had the Deuces Wild tournament, at least. But, yeah.
Oh, you mean that pay-per-view long tournament that was more of a bore than anything else?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It did suck. I forgot.
Yeah, okay. Sacrifice, worst pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, I think I'll go with that because I actually tried to watch it. I tried real hard.
Oh, yeah, that one had Super Eric in it, didn't it?
Yep.
That was probably one of the few bright spots. Sorry, I have a Prince Justice friend shirt. Anyway.
Did you let Sharkboy and Curry Man alone? By themselves, that was amazing. But when she added Super Eric, it was like... unwatchable.
At least TNA finally smarted up on those two... on when it came to Super Eric. I mean... at least now he's not afraid of his own pyro. And I remember last week, I was watching the show and talking to Nikki at the same time. Shelly and Sabin were running their mouths, and Eric Young got in their face and just cold cocked them. Like, bam!
Although, I will say this. Apparently, Eric Young did have a lot of fun with the superhero character, even if we didn't like it. I ran into him at a wrestling show in Michigan and jokingly asked him if Super Eric was going to be there. And he said, no, he didn't make it tonight because Big Dave wouldn't pay him enough. But sure enough, Super Eric popped up and beat the piss out of Robert Roode, if I remember correctly. Lost, but it was still fun. Anywho, where were we?
Yeah. Okay, how about best wrestler of the year? We had the best year.
Oh, wow. This is a coin flip for me. You know what? I'm going to ask, can there be co-wrestlers or do I have to pick one?
You can make a call, but I have a feeling what the two are going to be.
Well, okay, fine. Then you know what? I will make my guess. It's Chris Jericho, by far. He was in the storyline of the year with Shawn Michaels, had incredible matches with Shawn Michaels, and turned his character, which was a happy-go-lucky Y2J, into the second best heel into the in the business. He just had an absolutely phenomenal year this year, and everything he does from when he walks on that stage to his promos to his wrestling has changed when he turned heel, and he's just that good. I love Chris Jericho's work, and by the way, Edge is just such a close second for me because of his feud with The Undertaker.
Well, I guess Green Line Stick alike. Yeah, I was pretty much coin flipped on those two as well. Edge, best wrestler, up into Jericho's heel turn, clear cut, undeniably best heel wrestler of the year. Until Jericho then came storming up, went from Y2J to Serious Jericho with the whole Shawn Michaels thing was beautifully scripted. From the start of it with the whole Flair thing, and then the faking knee injury line against Batista, up to then to his what was it when he was like coaxing Shawn to get up in the stretcher match, and then actually into their main feud. It was just golden. This was
I will say that it is Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho definitely had was wrestler of the year. He completely did a 180 on his career.
I can't argue with you guys about that. Edge had an awesome year, don't get me wrong. I mean, his heel character is unbelievable in a good way. Chris Jericho took that beautiful cocky, swaggering Y2J character and just slowly, ever so slowly, turned it to that corporate, aloof, arrogant...
Wait. All right, breaking news. All of you guys remember I told you about the... Austin Aries punching out thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to this. It was... I'm paraphrasing. I'm quoting here. Bullshit.
What?
We've been worked?
Yes.
Fucking alphabet.
Where did you read this, and what source are you getting this from?
DeclarationOfIndependence.net, also quoted from CCWFans.com.
Okay.
WSUWrestling.com.
So let us go.
Okay.
So read it.
All right. It seems that the fan who was sending stuff to the DOI and other sites made up his story and picture. It was a picture of a completely different person. And it was a picture of a completely different person being beat up and the picture being shown. It was found on Google search images.
So it was a Photoshop?
Yes.
No, it was a stolen image. So what about the video? Supposedly there was video of this fight. Or is that bullshit too?
Ring of Honor hasn't said anything on that.
Let me read
the story. It seems the fan who was sending stuff to DOI and other sites made up a story and picture. Full credit goes to the posters on CZWFans.com. We're browsing through many pages of a Google search to find the original black eye picture. I mean, as I have a lot of stuff going on, that does include covering, reporting on shows featuring men rolling around in their underwear. I just didn't research the story at all and just thought it was entertaining, which is why most fans come to DOI anyways. I didn't believe it was 100% true when we posted it, hence our disclaimers, but it was pretty funny. And another reason why we asked for a picture with a date on it, which was why we all know never came, this was entertaining bullshit on a slow news day. Gotta give Mike Walker, the name of the person who emailed the story picture, for his credit for his creative writing. It blows out what we do here on DOI. Whoever pulled this, well done. As much as I raised my Stein of Beer to the CZW fans board for covering this fossil, I also give you Mike Walters props for coming up with this tale. I really think it would be funny if Gabe was the person behind it, even if I wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire while he was waiting for his food stamps booking job.
I want that whole stack of bullshit in room 101. You don't do that.
No, but it goes on. But it goes on. In all seriousness, we apologize to the Ring of Honor and Austin Aries for printing a fictional story. We've besmirched Ring of Honor in the past on this site intentionally, through our legit sources and allowing fans fake posts on our message board. However, we didn't mean any crap for you guys this time. Austin Aries is a great talent and should not be judged on this incident without all the facts.
Listen to this. DOI sent out a sleuthing job to the CCW fan board and anybody else. Trace and figure out who Mike Walters is at MikeA5Dub@Yahoo.com. He doesn't have the time right now to do it himself. He'll even throw in $20 if someone can give us concrete evidence of who it is. He'll even give Mike Walters $20 if the person turns themselves in. The only way the person can turn themselves is by sending me the response and wrote back to his original email to me.
My take on all this is that whoever Harry's hit had it coming. While we know the story picture is a fake, gotta wonder if it even fooled people in Ring of Honor, as I know it fooled a lot of other websites, including Figure Four Weekly, who ran with the story. For a wrestler to hit a fan multiple times, meaning the fan did something to incite such a reaction, whether the fan said something personal or tried to take a shot at Aries, it's obviously something happened to rile him up. Pretty much.
With Gabe stealing spotlight from Ring of Honor's biggest intended show ever. Hi, Gabe! With his blog seeking fan praise in this fake fan story, I think not only the DOI, but other sites that ran the story owe Ring of Honor an apology.
Agreed.
A lot of focus from what is said to be a great and well-attended event has been lost, and everyone is talking about how Gabe is trying to keep himself relevant. And this fan. Hopefully fans can go back to talk about the show, and it seems like this is a real exciting time for fans of Ring of Honor. Good luck to Adam Pearce, Kari Sikkin, and the Ring of Honor locker room. Who, except Ross, you can go snork yourself, you coward. In quotes. In the year 2009, hopefully the focus from internet fans will go where it belongs, on the wrestling.
And that's my complaint with it. It keeps going, and more of this bullshit's going to come out on the net. We don't need this. Stupid.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now I have to re-figure out around the horn. That's easy. Okay. How about worst wrestler of 2008?
Easy. Randall F. Orton.
Oh.
I'll tell you why. Again, he gets himself injured, re-injures himself, screws himself over out of a lot of stuff, and and is now getting face popped at the beginning of 2009. I don't get it.
I find it amusing that the only reason he won at WrestleMania is because Vince wanted to screw with the fans. That's not how you book, Vince, especially at the biggest show of the year. You pissed a whole bunch of people off with that little incident.
I would have taken what...
Although, there was... Go ahead.
I probably would have thrown something at Orton.
Although, admittedly, if you want even worse than that, I can throw somebody out worse than that.
Who is worse than Orton this year?
Chris Harris, a.k.a. Braden Walker, a.k.a. the fat ass that has been ridiculed up and down every internet site that even gives half a shit about wrestling.
I'm tempted to play the Braden Walker DVD.
Oh, no.
No, you don't have to play it. I'm saying that just the fact that this guy blew the ultimate opportunity, that 2 years ago he was one of the hottest commodities in TNA, started whining about, you know, not being able to get anywhere in TNA, got picked up by WWE, and then shows up out of shape, doesn't do much about it, and then craps all over the screen when he walks out. Dumbass. There are 10,000 wrestlers, and that's a low ball figure, that would beat your ass in the parking lot for that spot. I know about 20 of them in the Cincinnati area alone that want that spot. Dumbass, 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 dumbass. May you become the butt of every wrestling joke this side of Randy Orton.
VRM?
I'm going to go agree with Jason on the whole Randy Orton, on the whole Randy Orton thing. You already know that riding a motorcycle without a helmet is stupid because you saw it from Big Ben. So why do you go and do it? Please add, I can't even think of any more arguments beyond what we've already got.
I will just add one thing. Because we can always joke about saying, oh, Kali is bad. But you know Kali is bad. You know he's limited in what he can do.
Right.
Orton can do a hell of a lot more if he wanted to.
And he hasn't wanted to do anything else or anything better since about 2004 when he won the IC belt, and somebody probably walked up to him and said, that's just the first step. You'll be wearing the big gold before the end of the year. So he stopped trying. You can bash RVD all you want for his recreational things, but when he goes out there, Rob busts ass.
Exactly.
Even if it might end up being his own. But Rob gives a shit. Rob goes out there and does what he's supposed to do. I have gotten in a huge argument with a Randy Orton fan between these two of who would put more butts in the seats. I give you Raw's 15th anniversary show and the size of the pop and me literally falling off of my couch when Rob walked out.
Mm.
Even JR has said we should throw a whole lot of money at Rob Van Dam and try to get him to come back. He has said so in a blog in recent months, and Rob said, that's nice.
Well, you, sir, I know what I think you're going to say.
Me? No. Pretty much, Nikki's right. Brian Walker is the worst this year.
Oh, okay.
I know you're giving me so much crap when it comes to Jeff Hardy.
Well, yeah, but I think you're more, well, he, believe it or not, his story is actually one of the most interesting events of 2008.
It is one of the most interesting stories of 2008. He had a very
roller coaster ride.
Yeah, roller coaster ride this year. Actually, I think all of the past 8 years has been a real roller coaster ride for him.
Uh-huh.
And I think the destination is quite sweet for him, and I'm very happy to see it. I'm sorry, I wish I had been home to see Armageddon, and I'm still kicking myself that this is the first SmackDown tonight that I've seen him with that belt around his waist. It took me that long just to catch up with him. But I'm going to make up for that when I hit a bunch of SmackDown house shows here in a couple of weekends.
Okay, we're going to close out the first hour. We're going to head to the second hour. We will be doing Around the Horn for the second hour, along with more bullshitting like we normally do.
more year in review, which would be kind of cool.
Hold on.
Well, if we got a couple of minutes, you want me to run through the awards real quick?
I really don't know what's been going on. For those that listen to the show, I sound a little bit differently than what I normally do. I am sidelined with, I have a little of a swollen throat, and my voice is, well, yeah.
Yeah, okay, well.
Yeah.
You sound fine to me.
Okay, let's go quickly here. Best organization this year, and Nikki, no saying Prime PTW because you're in there.
I wasn't going to say GDW because we didn't run enough.
I'm going to go against what my normally do because WWE was this past month the best organization. But for the entire year, it's Ring of Honor. It is Ring of Honor. You had great independent wrestling for the entire year, and even with Sapolsky, leaving and all that sort of stuff, it has been the most consistent product over the entire year. So I'm going with Ring of Honor.
Nikki?
I unfortunately don't follow Ring of Honor as closely. I'm going to take your word for it, Jason. I will take your word on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately WWE is the one I have followed the closest because TNA has chased me off this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very hard to follow TNA, even week to week. I feel like I missed a month. WWE has been very up and down this year, but it's been more up and down. This is the first year in about 5 years that they've been more up than down. So going just on experience, I'm going to give it to the E because they're up. And, in fact, they're going to keep going up now that they're branching out with different champions and they still have a pretty broad base for development in developmental. There's still some house cleaning to do, sure. But I think they've got a good chance to start bringing some fans back in 2009.
We have somebody on the line. Caller, hello.
it's fourth.
Fourth!
Ew.
We have a fourth!
How did I know? 11 o'clock rolls around, fourth is on.
So, yay, this means we can actually do Around the Horn.
Let's
Somebody
do
gets
it.
To...
All right, let's do it.
Bring it on.
I have it all fixed appropriately. So, let's go.
Do it.
It's the first word.
Batista out. Although it was reported on Raw that, he was having, and we talked about this earlier in the show, dental surgery. It's actually a torn hamstring, and he is out for 6 to 8 months. So the earliest he could come back would be right before SummerSlam. If he were to go the full 8 months for healing. And knowing history with wrestlers and Batista, you can probably imagine he'll be back sooner. Do you think, how long do you think he'll be gone for? And we'll start with VRM.
I'm going to go closer to the actual deadline, but I'm going to go a little sooner. It's not going to be a Cena-esque turnaround. I'm going to go 5 months. Cena, he proved he's Superman. He came back from his, whatever the first injury was, the bicep, in like 3 months.
I was just looking at my things, just seeing what was going on over there.
What the?
Yeah,
but...
Sorry, I was asked a question at home. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Now I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, but Batista's going to be back in 5 months. He's not going to make a Cena-esque turnaround, but he is going to be back before his deadline, before the... He's going to be back before the six-month deadline. Is he going to go right for a world title shot? No, I don't think he'll go for a feud with Orton, provided Orton doesn't have the title, in which case he will go for a title shot.
You guys can jump in and go after him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to order it. It's going to be closer to the end for this reason only. Cena has come back because of his age. He's only 30. Batista's in his early 40s. It takes longer to recover, and especially since he's had 3 muscle tears over the last 4 to 5 years, if I'm not mistaken, he is going to rest his leg until it is fully recovered. I am guessing that it is going to be towards SummerSlam. That's what I think.
We're probably looking at 7 months here, and storyline-wise, it would be perfect. Let him go ahead and rest and rehab and get that hamstring back to 100% where he needs to be. He comes back and crashes a match at where else? The Night of Champions. That's when he gets his Game Genie fixed and comes out and starts beating people over the head with it, saying, give me my damn title shot. That's all I do for this company. And then he laughs to himself.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, 7 months. That way he walks right into a SummerSlam feud. He can do it face or heel. Granted, he would rather play it face. I would love to see Batista as the heel monster again. I miss it terribly. Even though he's been, you know, he's been fun as a face since 2005, it's lost something. He's got to come back and either start destroying people or just be the big intimidating bully that he can be.
And again, you don't need to rush him back, especially... If somebody who...
Hey, Jason, we haven't heard from Fork yet.
I was going to say, for the same reason Jason said, for age, I think it's going to take the full time, and they're probably going to build him up the way they did the Triple H at SummerSlam last year, and seen with Survivor Series, that they put him against some random wrestler, and they have that wrestler build up the feud, and Batista comes back and basically just beats him. Not in a completely one-sided match, but a little bit of a match to basically say, here he is, he's back, he's ready to dominate. That's all I got.
Okay, with all that said,
you know, as Mickey pointed out, this is his third muster. How long do you think he has left in his career?
Oh, I didn't point out the muster.
I was the one who pointed that out. And I would say, honestly, 3 to 4 years at max. I mean, because, again, he is well-built. But remember, when you have 3 muscle tears, it's not easy to come back from this sort of thing. It all comes back to the age factor. You don't recover the same way you do at 30 as you do at 40. That's all it is. I'm thinking that if he has one more major muscle tear within the next year, and knowing the way he works, he's going to have it. He may be done completely. You know? And that's the sad.
I'm willing to give him 5 years because they can even book him where he doesn't do a lot of wrestling over a course of a few months. He's done that a little bit already in the last 2 years, where he can come in and demand his title shot. He doesn't necessarily have to wrestle, or they throw him in tag matches. That seems to be some of WWE's style of building up some feuds. They'll mix them together and have these tag matches where Dave doesn't have to do as much work. He can just run in there, get in his stuff, shake the ropes, Batista bomb, we're done. That can stretch his career 5 years if he does it right.
And he takes care of himself.
There, I'm last word.
Now, I'm going to be with Nikki on here 5 years. Next month, major muscle tear, if it's a bicep or a chest. If it's upper body, it's probably ball game Moggle right there. Lower body, I'll be willing to give an extra one more shot, but upper body, forget it.
Forth, quickly.
I think he's only going to do another couple of 5 years in WWE. His body's probably going to tear down a little, not the way Randy the Ram and the wrestler will, but definitely enough where Vince is going to say, it's been fun, see you next time, and he's going to spend a few more years in TNA, basically doing a lot of wrestlers that were stars in WWE doing TNA, semi-main event run.
Okay, we move on to what could be described as one of the worst upcoming storylines of 2009. You know how they say when some storylines are grounded in reality, they work. Unfortunately, this one does not work because it's definitely not in reality. JBL Shawn Michaels being that storyline. Which had this past Monday on Raw had JBL basically tell Shawn Michaels to lay down for JBL. Sure, it took a clothesline from hell to do it, but the gist was there. How bad is this going to be, Forth?
It's probably not going to be that bad if they try to have where after several times where he accidentally costs JBL a match, he just snaps and super kicks him. But at this point, it could get very bad. Not Gooker-worthy bad, but definitely bad.
This is actually horrible for only one reason and one reason only. If this were true, why would he be the happy-go-lucky Shawn Michaels on SmackDown, shilling his DX for the past month, but then coming on Raw to be the depressed, broke Shawn Michaels?
Whoa, wait.
They've said that those were pre-taped beforehand, Jason.
It doesn't matter. You're showing something that's different. It's a mixed message. You're not showing what happened. You're not showing the truth. And the truth is that Shawn Michaels is quote-unquote broke. If he's broke, you don't show the ads. If he is broke, you know, if he isn't broke, then you should be happy-go-lucky, you know, happy-go-lucky Shawn. Mixed messages doesn't work, and it's going to get worse.
I'm not terribly keen about this storyline either, partially because of the DX ads. Now, they tried to address this when JR did state that, yes, these were pre-taped, and he tried to continue to downplay the storyline. It doesn't make any sense because Shawn Michaels has been a perennial main eventer, and he talks about making mistakes in the past. Well, yeah, that'll take you only up to about 1996. 7. He found Jesus during his 4-year hiatus, which means he became the family man and the good father and all that wonderful stuff that would put him in a position where he was saving his money. And if he was talking about all this generosity where he was giving money to all his family and friends, well, the IRS would have taken the rest at that point, and maybe we'd have something there. But it's not believable given Sean's spot on the roster. MVP is probably the best candidate to be standing where Shawn Michaels is right now, and then it would make 100% sense.
Yeah, when you've got a big-time main eventer, like not just not just your regular coming like every other month main event, every other month main eventer. This is like an every month main eventer. He has been a main eventer since, I'm going to go back to 96 when he won the title at WrestleMania 12. Granted, he was out for 4 years. But still, if he's a main eventer, he's going to be making at least $200,000 a year, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that he's flat broke when his boss is a billionaire and he's a main event star? No, this is... I can't see it being real at all.
And actually, that leads to another big loophole in the storyline, his conversation with Triple H. Why in the blue hell would Shawn Michaels go to a despicable, misogynistic, racist Texan millionaire when his best buddy is one of the biggest moneymakers in the entire freaking company? Even if
he's
don't...
And he's banging the boss's daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even have to bring that up. You don't even have to mention that.
No, but the deal is that you're absolutely 100% right. And how can he be working and have a contract with the WWE and also be working for JBL? Who is his boss? Vince McMahon? John Bradshaw Layfield? God himself? We don't know. We don't know.
So, you know, just you know, this plot has too many holes in it. Yeah, you could drive that buzzer right through it.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's so contrived. It feels like I'm watching the movie Armageddon. It's that bad.
Ow.
I would go with Waterworld, but that's about it.
Although, speaking of an Armageddon joke, I attended the Raw right after Armageddon. They played the entire bloody segment in the arena. I didn't need to see that, and neither did most of the people who were at the show who had been to the pay-per-view. Thank you.
Let's do a recap of the scores now. Nikki in the lead with 17.
Ooh.
VRM with 10. Fourth with 9. Jason with negative
47. What? That's retaliatory. Stop that.
No, I'm kidding. Jason has 7.
Oh, God. Okay.
Buy or sell?
Buy or sell, you buy, you sell, you don't rent. We're looking at you, Andy Duke. You don't rent. Let's talk about Jack Swagger. Who knew that a big creepy smile and a singlet would set ECW on fire? Right now, it's currently being said that he is in a main event thing right now with Matt Hardy. They're just waiting for the right time to pull the trigger. And more recently, he had a match at the last house show of 2008, at Madison Square Garden. Buyer style Jack Swagger being the breakout star of 2009. BRM?
I'm going to buy this one. Jack Swagger, amazing heel on ECW right now. The way they've built him up with the Tommy Dreamer feud, brilliant. if you're saying what you're saying is right, yeah, I expect this. I expect the feud, maybe even a WrestleMania feud. I expect a WrestleMania feud for Hardy Swagger, the way it's running right now. So, yes, definite buy here.
Jason?
I'm selling. I saw his work at Madison Square Garden. He wasn't that great, and he really wasn't that over with the crowd. They basically said, who the hell was he? Not many people necessarily who watched Raw watch ECW. And until he gets a real personality and knows how to promo, perhaps, then maybe, yeah, just maybe, he will be a breakout star. My pick for the breakout star of 2009 is Evan Airborne. He, once he comes back from his injury,
Jason,
will be
Jason.
In the... What?
That's later on. Don't spoil things. Nikki?
I'm going to buy it, but it's going to take me a while to pay it off. Jack Swagger is off to a flying start, because I'll tell you what, I saw him doing dark matches, and I thought he was part of FCW's Team Generica. He really didn't do anything for me. What they've done with him on ECW has been very good. You can thank Tommy Dreamer, but you can also thank Matt Stryker for stepping up and calling him Jack Swagger. And that alone has really set off some people in the IWC to take another look at this guy. He's not really going to cut loose until after WrestleMania. He's a good commodity right now, but we need to play with him a little bit more. This is his test title match against Matt Hardy. Give him another 6 months, and I think we're going to really have something that's going to be well worth my money.
Fourth?
I don't know if he'll become the guy that we've seen it is, but I definitely think that he'll become a star now, and in a few months they'll draft him onto maybe SmackDown, and he'll definitely be a solid mid-card guy, and he'll add something, I think, to the U.S. title division. I think he's actually doing a good job as a heel. He doesn't talk much, but in a way it's sort of an attitude with him that he doesn't really need to talk.
Okay, moving on. Hi. I'm Dolph Ziggler. Nice to meet you. He came. He got suspended. He came back. He's having decent matches, and the bombshell is actually being put in some decent matches in the past few weeks. Sure, some of them were with Charlie Haas, but hey, at least he's getting airtime. Buy or sell Dolph Ziggler being important in 2009, Jason?
I'm selling it. Again, he had a great starting match with Batista in, I believe, November of 2008. But you really need to build him up as a really heel instead of just being a guy who's handshaking people. They did that well with the Miz and Morrison angle in December of 2008, but right now I don't see it.
Nikki?
I've got to sell this one. This is Nick Nemeth's, like, what, third or fourth try to work his way into becoming relevant on Raw. He had a better shot when he was being Chavo Guerrero's caddy.
Nice!
Now, I'm sure he had a blast working with the Spirit Squad, and now that he's coming out being this new generation he looks like Billy Gunn, and his only shtick is that he can glad hand. That's not gonna get you very far. He's about as relevant as Charlie Haas is more relevant than Nick Nemeth. And Mr. Ziggler, I hate to say it, is going to be about as important. About number 6 or 7 on the future endeavored list. I can't see him making it to the summer.
Fourth.
I feel bad, but he's not going to make it.
Yeah. I would reluctantly sell because I like the character now, but I get the feeling they're not going to build on it. And while there isn't heat anymore, otherwise I'd say he'd end up dropping on heat to Mike Knox, for example, and basically do nothing for a few months. And then he's online, and they say they've come to terms with his release. Wish him well in all future endeavors. So I don't think they're really going to build on it, so I think it's probably big to sell.
DRM?
and I'm selling this to. So far, the only thing that I've seen from Dolph Ziggler that has been at all buildable at all is his constant reiteration, making himself an asshole by just saying his name. I forget which match it was in, but a couple weeks ago, all he did is after he had a move, he'd say, like, he'd stand over the guy, like, "I'm Dolph Ziggler." That was like the only thing that, about him that seemed relevant, making himself a cocky heel, trying to make himself try to put his name over, but it really hasn't done much at all. If they put that back, then I'd say he might have a shot at not being Endeavor this year, but otherwise, goodbye.
Yeah, he's going on year 6, I believe, being in WWE in his third try. As Nick said, as the caddy, as the sole survivor of the Spirit Squad.
Sad in itself.
Right. And now as a Dolph Ziggler porn star. Well, that's why he's been spying all the time.
Dear God. I'm looking at WWE.com.
They
actually have the Vicky Guerrero nude photographs on there.
What?
Blacked out, of course.
What in the name of Jesus Hussein Christ is going on here?
I'm serious. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm just my eyes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
On this day, it's surreal to me.
That Vicky should always keep clothes on.
Okay, I should. I don't know if I really want to see this.
Yeah, you do.
Don't.
Moving on.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Somewhere in the afterlife,
Eddie must have been
laughing. Oh, my God. Okay, I'm closing the website now. This is hilarious.
Let's talk about Saban and Shelley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a little more palatable.
Sorry.
Yes. The yo-yo tag team of TNA. They're pushed, they're de-pushed, they're pushed, they're de-pushed, they're pushed, they're de-pushed. Well, apparently they're being pushed again. And right now both of them are in the semifinals for the X Division Championship tournament. Excuse me. Buy or sell this actually being... the permanent push for Saban and Shelley, Nikki?
I'm going to sell because apparently they get somewhere, they get a little ways up the ladder, and then one or the other does something really stupid in the back that gets them both in trouble and gets them de-pushed again. If I recall earlier this year, one of the reasons they lost one of their pushes is they wouldn't bleed at lockdown. Dudes, you're in a cage. You're going to bleed. And, oh, by the way, when your boss tells you to bleed, you better say, how red? So, no, I'm going to sell this, because if they keep screwing around like this, they're going to end up having to find another job.
Fourth?
Yeah, I would probably say sell now, because they keep doing this, they keep pushing and de-pushing to the point where the crowd is eventually just not really going to care as much about them. Like, oh, finally, here they are, and then, boom, nothing. Eventually the crowd could care less, and... they might end up being released. Go to the Indies or to Ring of Honor.
BRM?
Yeah, there's no way this is going to be a permanent push. They've been going back and forth so much, my head is starting to spin. First, they were jobbing for like 8 months on end. Then now suddenly they're pushing. They're now in this feud here where with Mick Foley, where they're... just being complete and total assholes about the whole thing. They think that that they're the best there is. Everyone thinks they're the best there is. It's just my head's just confused. TNA, Russo, my head's just gone.
Well, in that case, I got two words for you, VRM. Spear this, pal.
That's three words.
Three words. Jason?
Yeah, I'm making it unanimous. Inconsistent booking combined with fan indifference combined with just, you know, again, this is just a symptom of TNA's bad year. This is not going to be anything in 2009. I'm sorry.
And guess what, Jason? Even though it follows mutes, you're moving on.
Wow.
Well, it's been fun.
Nikki Say VRM standby fourth.
He's a very angry man, isn't he?
Kind of ironic because that's your position.
Whoops.
Ooh.
Any last words?
Ball game, Maggle.
Ugh. Fourth ends in fourth. Out of bounds next, but I gotta take a small break. And while we do that, Nikki Heyman has some awards to hand out.
Yes, I do. Every year on my blog at myspace.com/LCNH, I always put up the nominees for the recruits that I get all through the year. So this year I posted my 2008 Nikki Awards. My top new acquisition from the WWE, none other than Raw's Kofi Kingston. This man has had a banner year, starting out on ECW, getting moved up to Raw, getting an Intercontinental title run and a tag team run within, you know, less than a year of being on TV. This is one guy that even WWE calls their breakout star of the year for their 2008 magazine. My best new acquisition from TNA was Consequences Creed. Some people believed I should have disqualified Curry Man because he was recently fired. Well, the awards were up before that, so it doesn't matter. I've got him and his buddy. Yeah, his buddy, Christopher Daniels. top new acquisition, Ring of Honor. Is he the current champion right now or former champion? Nigel McGuinness.
He is still the current champion, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
I believe he's...
Checking.
I believe...
Yeah, I can't spell his name.
N-I-G-E-L McGuinness.
I got it. He is the current Ring of Honor champion.
The current Ring of Honor champion graced Heartland Wrestling Association over the summer, and I had the honor and pleasure of meeting him again. I had run into him when HWA was still a training facility back in 2003. Great guy. I hope that some of you guys get to meet him. Top new acquisition in the local independent scene goes to Astonishing Aaron Williams. This guy is what Jerry Lynn was 10 years ago. Aaron is an amazing, acrobatic athlete. One of the big highlights for IPW and the new HWA. If you guys ever come to Cincinnati, I will take you to this man. I cannot stress enough how good this guy is. I had a new category this year, top new acquisition in the free agent line, referring to WWE superstars that I recruited and then they were future endeavored. I have a three-way tie this year between Shannon Moore, Paul London, and Elijah Burke. Burke barely made it on TV this year and was endeavored in the late summer, early fall, which is a shame. He's got excellent mic skills, a infectious smile, and is a very intelligent wrestler. I'm sorry to see him go. Paul London, I have a feeling, was a victim of politics, and Shannon Moore is the shyest man in wrestling, which is why he will never get anywhere. Let's see. For the re-signings... my top re-signings for WWE was also a tie between CM Punk and Evan Airborne. I've been following Evan through, I got to see him in Ring of Honor, I got to see him in Developmental. He's a wonderful, very intelligent man, and I don't say this out of the bias of my own heart because we also share a birthday. Thank you very much. CM Punk was a little standoffish when I did run into him this summer. But he's still a top-notch performer, and I really think WWE is dropping the ball on him. re-signing in TNA went to AJ Styles, as he is one of the most consistent of the front line and should be the leader. You know, Rhino, I love you to death, man, but you probably should be in the main event Mafia. Plus, I would I'd pay a lot of money to see Rhino in a suit. Top re-signing in the independent scene goes to Al Snow and his dear, dear departed partner, Ed. They tagged together at a main event at Primetime Wrestling in Michigan. Al, of course, is a perennial performer, former trainer at Ohio Valley Wrestling, and probably I think he's got a school reopened in Lima, if anybody knows about that. Let's see. Top new diva recruiting. You guys will love me for this. Top honors goes to Ashley Lane of Shimmer, but the second place was Nevaeh, her tag team partner. I had the distinct honor of meeting them as tag team champions when they graced us with their presence at Insanity Pro Wrestling a few months ago. Great girls. I've actually worked with Nevaeh at Generation of Destination. I wish the best for both of these gals, and Ashley, to your boyfriend Dave Christ, he's a doofus. Top Diva re-signing goes to Lillian Garcia. Yes, absolutely. I'm surprised. Of all the wrestling women, the votes all went to Lillian. Lillian is an absolute sweetheart. She pours her heart out for this business. She may not always have her names and information correct, but I'll tell you what, she still does it with a smile on her face. She was also most gracious to me, explaining an incident at Unforgiven. Just before the show started, another camera crew came out and filmed her. We couldn't hear what she was saying. We didn't know what was going on. So I ran into her the very next day, and I said, well, what was all that about? The shots were taken for the SmackDown vs. Raw 2009 commercial, where I am sadly just off a camera left. Anyway.
Boo.
So my final award is to the Loyal Employee Award. This is usually given to the guy that I've run into the most times this year. I don't like to give it twice to anybody. The first year went to Rob Van Dam. Last year it went to Tommy Dreamer. This year it goes to Kofi Kingston, with encounters with him in Muncie, Dayton, Fort Wayne, Wheeling, West Virginia, and Charleston. He is such a wonderful, gentle person. In person, if you ever go to a show, wave him over. He will sign anything you hand him. He'll take pictures. He will tell stories. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And that's my 2008 awards this year. Kofi,
yay.
I love you, man.
By the way, I got a second Lillian Garcia. She is an absolute sweetheart. She is. And as a friend of hers, or at least an acquaintance, for now going on 7 years, she is just phenomenal. She remembers everybody who she talks to, and she's just really, really super sweet and super nice and all that sort of stuff.
You may have your show back, Mr. Seidelman.
I'm trying to find a certain sound effect from Up Dragon's Den, which pretty much describes the what I saw on WWE.com, what Jason said on WWE.com.
Sorry, it's out there. I can't believe they put it up.
It's just simply Peter Jones going, why? Why? Why would anybody want this?
Yeah, well, you know what? If you find it, save it as a drop, because you're going to need it.
Here's what I'd like to do with it.
Oi!
See, you know what, though? Honestly speaking, I got to give Vicky credit. Not for nothing. Even if she wasn't nude, okay? The fact that probably a woman in her 50s, she's probably in her 50s, right?
I thought she was in her 40s, personally, but...
Even so, right? In her 40s. Putting herself out there, okay, to, you know, to prove that she is sexy, at least Edge. But you know what I mean, right?
She is 40.
She's just 40?
Just 40.
Then she must have had her oldest daughter when she was like 23, 22. Something like that?
Something like that.
Am I still on?
Yeah, I turned your mic on fourth.
I didn't see it, but am I the only one that gets the image of the guy in the Simpsons of the bottomless pit? I was a fool to think I don't know about new photos of Whoopi Goldberg. What the? Am I the only one with that image in my head?
No, let's move on.
Please.
After two rounds, Nikki way into the lead with 30, Barry M 22, Jason 19, and fourth, well, he finished fourth.
It's out of bounds.
The Wrestler. People love it. Vince hates it, so that means it's got to be good. Direct quote from, WWE.com on, their reaction to, the Wrestler, if I could find it, but it says that it details, it's pretty much a accurate depiction of, certain independent federations, but not any, association with World Wrestling Entertainment. A fan with a multi-million fan base, which, yeah. Your thoughts on The Wrestler, Jason?
Having seen the movie, I think it is an accurate portrayal of certain wrestlers, an amalgam of wrestlers from the 1980s. A lot of wrestlers from the 1980s did abuse their bodies, did take drugs, and want to relive the past. Having worked in the independent circuits in the New York, New Jersey area, which this portrays, I've seen people like this, and I'm going to name some names. Nikolai Volkoff, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and others who are way too old, did not use their finances well, and should not be in the business right now as we speak. The fact of the matter is that The Wrestler is a brutally hard portrayal of what I think of the independent wrestling scene. And you should go see it. Mickey Rourke is phenomenal in it as well.
BRM? Mickey?
I haven't seen the movie, but it's my... Yeah, Jason has explained to me it is a very accurate portrayal of what's going on in the independent scene. I'll give you an interesting perspective on this. It was brought up on RVD Radio on Wednesday night. Rob has seen the movie, and he said it was a huge downer for him. I think it made him aware of his own mortality when it comes to the wrestling business. This should scare a lot of the younger wrestlers to realize that they don't want to end up like that. Am I missing the question, though? What I think is that this movie needs to be out there. It needs to let the world know that this is the dark underbelly of wrestling that Vince McMahon doesn't want you to see, and it's going to make you think a little bit and wonder why the policies like the wellness policy took so long to take place when you've got guys like... when you've got older guys running around like that.
Yeah, I have not seen the movie either, but just reading the synopsis on, and I'm going to say everyone's favorite website, Wikipedia, just reading the synopsis, this looks like it is designed as like a reality check. You've got, like, I can't really say much, and I'm just doing a quick read-through. But if you got a guy who's big in the 80s, Hogan, Brett, Savage, the guy who's big in the 80s and had all the common 80s problems, the painkillers, the medications, drug problems, and then he's going through his, even after he suffers a couple of heart attacks, this seems like huge reality check that for like the younger guys. If you don't get your crap in there, shit in there right now, then you're going to have big problems down the line.
I'm waiting for it to debut in Seattle or my friend to get me a copy on DVD. Yeah, I know some people like that and who do stuff like that, but I'm tired of waiting, and it's not going to be released in the Seattle area until a couple of weeks from now. Anyway, second elimination time. Jason barely survives yet again.
Woof!
Nikki, of course, survives. So, VRM, any last words?
Utah's winning. Somehow or other, Utah is beating Alabama. I do not see how this is possible.
Bye bye.
Wrong sound.
I was going to say, I got a win for that. Easy audience tonight.
Jason Block versus Nikki Haman, the first showdown in 2009. Don't spoil it.
No way.
Never.
First off, Kizarni. Easy. Sucksy. The. NZ. There were boring chants at the show. Edited out, of course, for TV.
Watch it.
Thank you. Will it work? Jason, 30 seconds, 20, 50 seconds apiece, go.
It will not work. MVP got more chance than Kizarni did. He was not interesting. His character is not over, and this is going. And Kizarni sucks.
Nikki.
Kizarni is Krizep. It's not going to happen. They waited too long to put him on TV. Apparently, somebody else didn't like him, even though he's one of John Laurinaitis' boys. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. He couldn't even get over on MVP.
That's the thing. He's a John Laurinaitis project, so that means it's bound to suck. Point goes to Nikki.
Oh.
What do you expect? Most things in Hiles are playable miles. What do you think they do to him? In order to get the job.
I won't go there.
Whoa!
Next up. Earlier in the show we talked about the best of 2009. We're going to continue with that thing. But we're going to talk about announcers. A good announcer will entertain us with it, you know, while calling the match. A bad one will just yell a lot. Don West. Who do you think is the best announcer of 2008? Nikki, go.
Absolutely, Matt Stryker. Not only does he call the matches, he calls moves that I didn't even know the names of. Plus, he sprinkles in so much nerd, you just got to sit there and listen to see how much of it you catch. It's almost like Dennis Miller, but a whole lot better. I'm digging Matt Stryker.
Oh, I hate to be the second person in this, but I got to agree. Matt Stryker is far and away the best announcer. Michael Cole is overtly orgasmic when it comes to the matches. And Jim Ross, while he is the legend, it just has lost a step or two. Matt Stryker is just the best.
So you both agree. The second one is more fresher in my mind, so point goes to Jason.
Oh, shit.
Well, damn. Okay.
Plus, Michael Cole slams get points on this show.
Oh, okay.
That's true. That's true. Is he one of one yet? Yeah, he went in earlier. Never mind.
Yeah, he went in first show. Final Battle 2008. The ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny. Yeah, I'm a geek.
Yes, you are.
Nigel McGuinness defends his title against Turner Naomi Marufuji, and the main thing was Austin Aries punching out that fan, but we won't go there anymore. The American drag queen, Christopher Daniels, pulls out a win over Takeshi Morishima after cattle mutilation. Sound like a good show for Ring of Honor, Nikki?
I missed it, but unfortunately, Bryan Danielson is so crazy over. I know the robots loved it. Probably was a good show for them. I wouldn't have been too happy. I'm not a big Bryan Danielson fan.
The fact is that, yes, because this was a transitionary show. Remember, you had the biggest crowd in Ring of Honor history with the Hammerstein Ballroom. The fact that you have a new booking system, this was a way to cap off 2008 and bring Ring of Honor into 2009 with a potential TV deal with HDNet in the process.
A TV deal with HDNet?
That is true.
Damn, channel I don't get.
Oh, no.
You still get the win.
Oh, okay.
No, I'll give him that.
Jason, expound for 30.
Okay. Again, I'm going to do this. I am going to say to Jeff Hardy, congratulations. You have been given the ball. Fans have been warning you for years to have the belt. A word to the wise to you, don't screw it up. Because this is your last chance, my friend. The fans wanted you to have this belt. The internet fans wanted you to have this belt. Now the fact is that you've been given a shot. Now, the WWE is now moving with you as the SmackDown King. I am happy for you. No, sorry. I'm happy for you. There you go. But seriously, though, don't screw it up.
Yes, please don't screw up because I hate to do this.
Yeah.
Eep.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. Who's snoring?
Can you hear that? Can you actually hear that?
Yeah.
I can hear it too.
That is one of my cats being insanely happy curled up in my lap tonight.
That is
your
cat snoring?
No, that is my cat purring like a freaking V8 engine.
Wait, let's hear this. Did you put the phone close? Seriously.
Yeah, let me do this. Hang on.
Oh, my God!
Last time I heard that sound was a Randy Orton promo.
What?
My cat can cut a better promo than Randy Orton. Thank you very much. That's a huge compliment. Thank you.
Holy cow, your cat's loud.
Hold on. Let me put on my my big watch. Say it's Rolex to say hello. Welcome to Love Connection. I'm Chuck Woolery.
Oh, my God. That is a reference for those who don't know to the Meow Mix game show.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I have the happiest kitty on earth right now.
Yeah, that is.
I wasn't even going for the Meow Mix thing, Jason.
No, you weren't?
No.
You just dated yourself, Jason.
Oh, wow. But that is just awesome. That's just great. That is just nuts. Oh, man. So
I was going for a love connection reference between the cat and Mickey's lap.
Oh, dear God!
Hey!
Oh. No. I mean, the cat loves Nikki's lap.
Oh, God!
He's all covered up.
Yeah, the blood connection is all about innuendo, and I can't punch you through the phone.
Yeah.
Oh.
I demand a fail.
Oh. Oh, good Lord.
I demand angle for now.
Yes, there you go.
Angle.
That's the better button.
Yeah,
angle.
Angle.
Screw your
moves. There you go. Oh. Oh, my God. I imagine if I had alcohol, this would be really fun.
Oh, my Lord.
By the way, Jason, I'm wondering, for the We Love to Interrupt get-together in Atlantic City, what hotel are you, Gordon, and...
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if he could actually make it that weekend, per se. You have to speak to him. He's...
I spoke to Gordon, I'll speak to him, I think, tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, talk to him, and yeah. But, yeah, he's the one who's arranging it. I'm just along for the ride. Whenever he wants to go down, he'll go down. If we make it, we make it. If we don't, we don't. I don't know.
I hope you guys make it the weekend I'm going to be, the week that I'm going to be down there. It'll probably be fun, because I really don't want to lose another $100 gambling.
You won't. Don't worry. Just play smart and play cool and just bet on the low limit tables. Low limit tables. Now
I always go to the low limit tables. I just get severely unlucky.
You mind if I? Because your voice seems like you're going right.
I am definitely going.
No. Your voice seems like it's going.
I can make the last 8 minutes. Actually, this will be the last 8 minutes of the show.
Okay, so why don't I ask you something? You guys something. What do you think is going to be the one major event that we're going to be talking about 12 months from now?
The big thing?
Yeah, just in general, what do you think is the one big thing that's going to happen?
Randy Orton gets released.
Whoa!
Wow. We could only hope.
You really think so?
No.
Oh, okay.
He's going to get fired if they get him out of there, unless they find another loophole.
I definitely think someone we don't expect is going to get suspended for wellness. Not that I'm saying I want to see that, but I just get that feeling it'll come so far out of left field.
Are we talking like a Cena or a Triple H, that sort of deal?
Well, probably not on their entire level, but definitely, yeah, something you wouldn't think to see happening.
I'm going to say that we are going to be talking about some other acquisitions that are going to come back from TNA into WWE. They're going to realize that the grass isn't greener on that side, and they're going to follow Christian Cage in. And I'll put a name out there for you. I don't know if his contract is up, but I will say Kurt Angle, just as a goof.
Angle's a bit of a long shot, though. But Kurt Angle is – it might be a bit of a long shot, but Kurt Angle would be – the name to jump back.
And that's a pretty big bridge he's going to have to rebuild coming back, Jason.
He didn't leave well, huh?
Well, you remember the whole mess about him leaving WWE?
Yeah, about the whole drugs?
Yeah.
Okay, look, Bret Hart's bridges were sort of burned, and then look what happened.
That's true, but has it been long enough? Because it did almost, it took almost 10 years for Brett.
That's
now,
true.
Christian's got a couple of friends in TNA who probably wouldn't mind following him over to WWE when their contracts go out.
Right now.
It's entirely possible. He's been all over the card. They can't figure out what to do with him. I don't think he's a good fit as the leader of the front line. I really don't. I mean, you know, I understand he's using his ECW roots as part of his character, but he's also been in the business for 12, 15 years. Ditto for the Dudleys. The Dudleys, I know, have considered coming back, but it's Vince, as Bubba would put it.
No, it's not Vince.
Johnny Ace?
Yes.
Okay, there's a story I want to hear at the end of the year. Johnny Ace gets his butt fired.
Oh. I'll give you that as a mid-year story.
I want to be taught. You realize the size of the party the IWC will throw when he finally gets shit canned?
If he does get shit canned, who do you see replacing him?
Will Brock Lesnar hold the MMA title belt by the end of 2008?
No.
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 Would he?
I don't think he will. I don't think he will, but I don't know who would beat him. But to answer the previous question,
Frank
to replace.
Did Mir beat him again?
Frank Mir will beat Brock Lesnar again.
Could be. I was going to answer the previous question.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, well, just to add to that story, that Jim Ross finally hangs up his hat and goes back to doing talent relations. Because I know he had his hand in that for a long time. Go ahead.
95 to 2004.
And I don't think they did too bad for themselves in that stretch, hmm?
Mm-mm.
No.
How about this one? Because I got a great one. Paul E. to ROH.
Wow.
I would be showing up a lot more often if that happened.
I will say that Paul E. might be into wrestling in 2009. Don't know where, though. Because it all depends on if Carrie Silkin's booking holds up through the early part of 2009. You know, if the booking holds, then he ain't going to Ring of Honor. If it does not, who knows?
If Paulie could get the backing, I think he'd want to start his own thing because he's already hinted that in his blogs. He says, do I have to come back and show you how it's done?
This is Eastwood.
And the answer to that is, don't tease me like that.
I will say this when it comes to Paul Heyman. Give him the book. He can book magic, but don't give him the checkbook.
I could say something really mean and slightly racist.
Hey, don't go there.
I can't?
Well, it's fine. If you say, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you already know what I'm going to say, Jason.
Go ahead.
Mr. Heyman, my dear, dear Uncle Paul, is the only Jewish man I know who doesn't know how to handle money.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to let that one sit.
By the way, quickly, because we've got about a minute left, my breakout star of 2009, Evan Airborne, he's going to have a belt around his waist. He will.
It might not be the big one, but he's going to be wearing some gold, although I'd rather see him carrying a briefcase with a big smile on his face.
Who's yours?
Breakout star for 09?
Yeah.
I would give it to Evan as well, because as long as he stays healthy, the sky is literally the limit. I'd pay a lot of money to see him fight Rey Mysterio, Jeff Hardy, heck, Matt Hardy. And just watch him just fly every which way but loose. And the belt around his waist would look pretty nice, although I'd miss his abs.
How about this one? In Ring of Honor. Chris Hero.
Oh, yeah.
But You know what they're setting up for now?
Hero versus Titus?
No. Nigel McGuinness and Jerry Lynn.
Yes, which is going to be phenomenal.
Ooh, money.
Yeah, that is money. That is definitely money stuff.
Speaking of money, we're out of it. We're also out of time. So for VRM 4, Jason Block, Mickey Heyman, I am Robert Seidelman saying goodnight. Goodnight.
Goodnight.
Goodnight. Get better, Seidelman.
Yeah.
Goodnight, I'm 21.
Yay!
Happy birthday.